Hello, and welcome to a new segment on Heroes Direct that we call High 10. It's more than a high five, where we run you down 10 of the best. So what are we talking about today, Eamon?
We're talking about non-franchise superhero movies.
Okay, there are so many.
There are loads.
We're going to get stuck into it. The way that we're going to do it and the way that we run High 10 is basically we've drawn out of a hat who's going to go first. We don't know who's going to get to one. Well, we could probably work it out, but we're not going to. Each one presents what they think should be at number 10. We have a little chat about it, then we move on. The next person picks. I'm up first, and my pick for number 10 is the Ninja Turtles. No, not the Michael Bay CGI shitstorm. No, the 1990s live-action practical effects Ninja Turtles. It was one of the best things I'd ever seen as a kid. I watched it to death. I broke my VHS. I bought a new VHS. I broke that one. Like, I love the Ninja Turtles, and this is great. Like, it definitely needs to be on this comic book list.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. The suits, even though they are kind of terrifying a little bit, they work brilliantly. Shredder as well, fantastic.
Great. You know they were actually designed by the same person who came up with the live-action Garbage Pail Kids movie, which was amazing as well. I loved that kind of like early 90s gross-out practical effects type cinema. Yeah. And, you know, that's where Troma came from, that whole like over-the-top sort of thing. Like, Troma is a deep cut, kids. If you want to go watch some Troma movies, Toxic Avenger is great. It's an honorable mention on this list. But so, number 10, we have the original Ninja Turtles movie. Go watch it. What have you brought for number 9?
Number 9, I brought Sin City.
Oh!
Frank Miller. Jesus Christ, this film is phenomenal. It's mainly all in black and white, which is one of the reasons I really love it, because it highlights certain things in colour. The shoes, the creepy yellow dude. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking phenomenal.
It was
an anthology of stories that are creepy, that's noir filled, it's kind of sexy. Scrap that, it's really fucking sexy.
Frank Miller was all over this as well in terms of like producing, making sure that it was like exactly like he wanted it to be.
Yeah, and the casting is spot on. One of my favorite casting choices ever is Elijah Wood as the boy.
Yeah.
Holy shit, he's terrifying, and he doesn't speak a word.
Breathtaking movie.
Yeah, definitely. What have you got for number 8?
Number 8 is an absolutely underrated beauty called Mystery Men. In 1999... We were in an era of Batman and Robin. Like, it was awful. Joel Schumacher was wanking all over our heroes, yeah? However, there came this beautiful movie called Mystery Men with Ben Stiller. It's all about a ragtag bunch of superheroes. Kel from Kenan and Kel's in there. Like, it's probably one of the most fun movies I've ever seen. And I watch it again and again and again. It takes a piss out of the genre, but stays true to the original comic book roots of Mystery Men. A lot of people don't think that Mystery Men is an actual comic. You should read it. It's shit, but it's but it is definitely there. I love this as an homage to an age of comic book cinema I hope I never get back.
It's worth noting that they make an appearance in the All-Star video by Smash Mouth. Fantastic.
And they just throw it back in here at the end of it. If you thought All-Star was just for Shrek, You're sorely mistaken.
You're so wrong. It's Mystery Men all over.
Number 7.
We've got Old Boy.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
Maybe the biggest twist in cinematic history.
Oh God. Yes, this is technically a comic movie. It's adapted from a manga series. Old Boy sees the tale of a father locked up for many, many years and then released, and he has to figure out why. This film was phenomenal. This was John Wick before John Wick. This was brutal. It was visceral. It was disgusting.
It's got parts of The Raid in there. Yeah. It's got parts of a Serbian film in there.
Oh, God, let's not.
It pushes everything to the ultimate extreme, just like manga and anime does.
Yeah, but it does it with almost taste
and dignity.
Yeah. The twist is fucking phenomenal.
We won't ruin it because this is a timeless movie.
Yeah, the 2013 American adaptation is not as good.
However, it's still very watchable. If you're not into subtitles, definitely give it a go. You need to know this story if you are into comic book movies.
It does lack the depth of the original, so we endorse the Korean original. So what have you got?
Number six is one of my favorite movies of all time. Absolutely would be in my top 10. It's The Crow.
Yes.
Like, it was gothic, it was dark, it was broody. Like, it just came out at a time when you were allowed to be dark and it not you know, it felt right.
This was the era of, like, Blade.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You were allowed to be gothic.
Well, it was way before Blade, but it was that early 90s era was dark. Even the Ninja Turtles that we talked about earlier was dark, like, in its shooting. The Crow sees the story of a jilted rock star whose lover is brutally killed and had very horrible things done to her, and he goes on a supernatural rampage to avenge her. The fact that this movie didn't spawn a franchise that is actually worth anything is heartbreaking. Coupled with the fact that Brandon Lee died on set under very mysterious circumstances. There's a couple of documentaries you can watch out there how both Bruce and Brandon Lee died in very dodgy ways around movie sets. It's the perfect nostalgia and vibe. This reminds me of The Craft meets... The Craft came out a similar time. Yeah. It's very... The Faculty, it's got a little bit of that to it. Mm. But it's... Go and watch the original. It's great. I believe they're making a remake with Jason Momoa, which could be really cool, but I do like a really skinny Eric Draven. Would prefer Tom Hiddleston.
As always, you want to prefer Tom Hiddleston. Now, for number five, I have easily one of the best M. Night Shyamalan movies ever, Unbreakable.
This was such a shocker in terms of a superhero movie.
Because nobody expected it to be a superhero movie, and that's what makes it so great. Bruce Willis's character, slowly throughout the film, discovers he has superpowers, and he doesn't really know why. But through the helpful guide of his son, he sort of crafts him into this homegrown superhero, and he even has his own kind of costume with the huge raincoat that is shown to be like a cape on various occasions. He manages to save some people from a serial killer and sets up one of the most intriguing villains that we've seen in cinema history in Mr. Glass, played by the immortal Samuel L. fucking Jackson.
Because he needs to be a villain, because that's all he has. Yeah. And coupled with the fact that you get the reveal twist at the end of Split that this world is not done with yet, and we're about to have the sequel Glass, this is definitely one you should revisit. 100% deserves to be on this list this high up.
So what have you got for number four?
Number four, I'm throwing a curveball into the mix.
Go.
Super.
Fantastic.
With Rainn Wilson and Ellen Page. There are two movies on this lineup that are basically what would happen if non-super people became superheroes. Mm-hmm. This is the most realistic telling of a superhero that has no superpowers ever. It's brutal. It's disgusting. It's downright unbelievable at times. Yeah. It's like a comedic version of Falling Down, but instead of going on a gun rampage like Michael Douglas does, he becomes a superhero.
Shut up, crime.
It's amazing. And the scene where Ellen Page departs the movie is maybe the most heartbreakingly brutal scene I've seen in a comic book movie ever.
It's interesting that James Gunn is the one that directed that. For number three, I'm going to bring in one of my favorite films of the past 10 years. That's Chronicle.
Chronicle would appear on several of my lists. It would appear in one of my favorite comic book movies, even though it's not a comic book, a superhero movie, featuring my favorite handheld found footage thing, because I hate that genre. It makes sense for Chronicle.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the cast as well. So we have Michael B. Jordan, who we've just seen in Black Panther, and as Johnny Storm. But Dane DeHaan also came onto the scene with Chronicle in a big way. Mm. But Josh Trank brought the superhero genre to life in a really interesting way. Like we said with the found footage, it doesn't give you any specific answers. It just shows you what would happen if a bullied kid got superpowers. And it's heartbreaking.
Out of the three of them as well, what's beautiful is you have the superhero, you have the guy who never really fully realized what he had, and you have the villain, just in three people. Yeah. Like, that's what's brilliant about this movie.
Yeah, it's visceral, it's gritty, it's heartbreaking, it's very well done. It's disappointing that Josh Trank didn't follow this up very well with Fantastic Four, but
I think this is why he got the Fantastic Four job.
It is why he got the Fantastic Four job. So what have you got for number two?
Number two, it would be a crime not to have this on there. Kick-Ass.
I fucking love this film.
It changed the game in what was possible. There would be no Deadpool without Kick-Ass. Like,
undoubtedly.
There would not be this resurgence in what you can do. It was violent. It was very true to the comic book. It was just one of those movies that instantly I fell in love with straight away.
So did I. I mean, it really pushed the boundaries of what a superhero movie could do, like you say. I mean, I fucking love that it's brutal and it is violent and it is gory. It really kind of opened my eyes.
I love the fact that little girl says the word cunt.
It's fucking amazing.
You've got Nick Cage being Nick Cage.
Nick Cage, but as Batman, essentially. It's great. I mean, the soundtrack alone, the Banana Splits song alongside Hit Girl, a 12-year-old girl killing drug dealers.
Dismembering drug dealers.
It's actually amazing. This bad movie reputation.
It pulls no punches whatsoever. That's what you want from a movie. That's what is amazing.
It kicks you in the balls and tells you, yeah, this is a fucking comic book movie. It's great.
Now, before we get on to number one and we do our big reveal, we're going to give some honorable mentions out. I'm going to honorably mention Watchmen. The only reason why it hasn't made this list completely is because I kind of fell out with certain aspects of it. It should be here. It's just that we felt that on reflection of these movies, Watchmen almost was too successful for you to make our list.
Plus, it is its own franchise. It's its own demon. I love it. It's one of my favorite films. It's one of my favorite comic books. I have Watchmen tattoos. It's one of those films that just repaints the superhero genre. We have a better film on its way.
We do.
But what about your other honourable mention before we get
there, My other honourable mention, and the only reason why this one was left off the list, is because when we looked at the list, we felt it was very heroes-based. Absolutely. But would be Ghost World. Now, this is one of the best comic book adaptions of all time. A lot of people don't even know that this is a comic book adaption. Scarlett Johansson, Thora Birch, absolutely smashing the roles. It is stunning. It is beautiful. It's a coming-of-age story that you would never want to be part of. It's fantastic. If I wanted this on the list, Eamon fought me tooth and nail purely on the hero element, but
it made sense. We've got a heroes-based list. Why not keep it coherent? Ghost World is great. I love the emotional depth that it has. All the characters, to a certain extent, you kind of relate to in a weird kind of twisted way. It's a great film.
So, what is the big reveal? Drum roll. Number one on our list is
Incredibles.
Oh my God. You would not have thought that we'd have got an animated classic.
Yes. Now, earlier on, when me and Dav were discussing this list, we were talking about The Incredibles, and within the same sentence, we both described it as the exact same thing. This is the best Fantastic Four movie that we've ever had. It's a family-centric superhero film. It's exactly what the Fantastic Four needed
to
be.
They don't get on. They're torn apart. They don't feel connected, although there is those in-jokes and family ties.
There is the matching costumes. There is the big bombastic plot.
There is the hiding of superpowers from each other because they don't want to be a freak.
Yeah, there is the mundane family life to it as well. And it is one of the most beautiful Disney films that Brad Bird has directed. And we are getting a sequel very soon.
I don't think I'm going to like the sequel. I'm throwing it out there. But as a standalone movie, The Incredibles is 100% the best non-franchise comic book movie you can watch. We're going to be doing High 10 more often. What do you think of our list? Are we wrong? Should we have included Watchmen? Should we have included something else? Let us know.
But also, what should we include on our next High 10 list? You can tweet us at Heroes Direct. You can tweet me at Eamon Jacobs. Tweet Dav
at SwearboxDJ.
What a guy. Thank you for listening. This has been High 10. We'll see you next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.